someone has to
say. On Friday, the Rav Shik from Breslov, when they call Morash.
Yeah.
I think the Levi, I think, is tonight. Okay. So, speak a little bit about Parshas Mishpatim. So, Bashana's grandson, the Degamachan Ephraim, he quotes the Zohar. The Zohar tells us, Ela Mishpatim Shatelsim Lifneim. Ela Mishpatim, depending upon the Girsa in the Zohar, it's Da Raza de Gilgulia, El Sidur de Gilgulia. What the Zohar is telling us is, Ela Mishpatim means this is the secret of Gilgulim, reincarnation. So, the obvious question is, what do Mishpatim have to do with reincarnation? Reincarnation sounds like this mystical idea, you know, transmigration, souls, past lives, you know. And you open up Parshas Mishpatim and we have Kisik Ne'evet Ivri, Shor Shenaga Chesapara, Bor, Ma Vehever, you know, you could fill up the Gemaras, Bavakama, Bavmetzia, Bavabasra, the well-known Seder Nezikin. If you learn Rashi in Seder Mishpatim, it's basically like doing Chazara on Seder Nezikin. What does it do with Gilgulim? If you choose Gemaras that sound like the most nigla, the most down-to-earth, the most non-mystical Gemaras, Seder Nezikin is right there in Yeshiva, what you learn as a Bachar. It doesn't sound very mystical at all. So what is the Zohar saying? That Parshas Mishpatim is the Seder of Gilgulim. Says the Degel, Ita b'Zohar HaKodesh Ilan Sidurin Dil Gilgulim V'utemu Arichoyer HaPasuk Meforesh V'azel Dine Mominus. What's the connection? Says the Degel, Ach Shamati B'Inyan Adin She'ech Adon Es Chaveru B'Vezdin. Two guys come into Bezdin. Now these two guys go into Beis Din, and the guy, one of them knows that he's correct. One of them knows that the din is with me. I'm talking about open shut case where there's no subtleties, where there's no sfeikas, there's no doubts. Person lends another guy money, and the guy doesn't pay him back. So the guy who lent the money says, "Look, I lent this guy money. He could be makhish from here until tomorrow, but I know I lent him the money, so I know that I'm Zakai. I know that I'm supposed to get the money, right?" V'atorah mechayavta, but the Torah says, nope. There was no shtar, there was no edim. There's some technicality. Right? The Torah has its rules, its laws, and the guy gets off on what we call a technicality. So like, if it happens in a secular court of law, so you say something's wrong with the law, it's more in favor of the litigants, it's more in favor of the prosecution. The law always defends the minority. You come up with all kinds of reasons why the law isn't doing its job, why there's no justice. But when it happens in a court of law called a Beis Din, when the law is the Torah, and the Torah is called Torah Emes, and Darcheya Darche Noam, that's not supposed to happen, you would think. So how does this, such a thing ever happen? Al Yakshelo, says the Degel, don't worry. Hal Torah Semes, Darche Darche Noam, don't worry about that. You shouldn't have to worry about such a question. It shouldn't be difficult for you. Why? Ki zeu amisus haTorah v'noam Darche. This is the truth of Torah, and how pleasant are its ways. Ki bevadai mistoma hayachayev l'chavera begilgul ha'avr l'ish hadan imoy. It must be that the reason he's not getting his money back now is because in a previous past life, in his Gilgul, he taka owed the guy money, and he didn't pay him back. So the Torah did you a favor by taking the money away from you and keeping it by that person, because really you owe him money from a past life. And the Torah's job is to make sure that you're not end up being owing anybody anything. Don't worry, the person who did some trickery, some begotten deceit, and he took money that doesn't belong to him, for sure that's going to happen. That Hashem will pay him back. He'll get his just desserts. We have now welcomed our youngest Talmidah. Shalom. So. Yeah.
That's where we start.
Yep. I was like, wow, they're getting younger and younger. And so forth, you can come up with many scenarios where you think something's gone wrong. I mean, look, we all believe in the Torah, right? But when it happens to you, you begin to have doubts. So the Degel is telling you, when it happens to you, don't have any doubts. Even though it might seem to us that something's wrong, it might seem to us that the judgment that's come down from the Torah's laws. We're not talking about a case where the dayan doesn't know halacha, chas v'shalom, or like he's taking bribery. We're talking about a case where the din Torah is that this person isn't getting the money that he feels is coming to him. And the reason the din Torah comes out to be that way is because al pi seder agilgulim, Hashem knows that this is the way it's supposed to be. That this person is really supposed to lose the money, it's really supposed to go to that person. Hashem, who's the creator of everybody, knows the secret of everybody's soul. God knows our past lives. He knows what we did in the past. Hashem makes sure in his network, the way he creates the world, that al pi Torah, his world should run based on the Torah. And that means that sometimes we lose things that we think are coming to us, and they end up by somebody else. And that's really b'chesed uv'rachmim, b'tzedek uv'mishpat, emes. It's really a kindness. It's really a favor God's doing for us. Because really, if we owe a person money, and we don't know about it, and we end up owing them money, that's not good for our souls. So Hashem is doing us a favor. He's taking care of us by making sure that whatever we're supposed to give ends up going into the right place, ends up being by the right person. There's a great opening to understand the ways the Hashgacha practice of Hashem, how He runs the world and makes sure that really, even though we don't understand it, things go the way they're supposed to. So it brings a story from Dvarim HaRavim. I've been told that this story is actually a midrash somewhere. But the story, as it's written in Dvarim HaRavim, is that the Mizrach Magi came to Baal Shem Tov and he asked him, he doesn't understand this Zohar Kodesh on Mishpat, and the Baal Shem Tov told him to go to a certain well and he went and see for himself. So whether it's a midrash or a story, the story is as follows. A person comes to the well and he's an armed soldier of some kind. It's a well-known story. And he comes to the well and he's tired from his journey and he sits down by the well and he relaxes and he eats something and he wakes up from his nap and he gets up and he leaves, gets off on his horse. And you can see that he's dropped his wallet, his money pouch, his bag, and he's left it there. After a little while, a second person shows up. And this person comes also to the well, and he lies down, and he relaxes, and he eats, and he notices a pouch, but there's no one around. And even if anybody has ever learned halacha of Din HaShavas Aveda, money has no simon, and there's no simon, and he takes the money, and he takes it, and he goes off, and he leaves. And a little while later, a third person comes, who is obviously an ani of some kind, a pauper, a beggar. And he sits down and he eats his coarse, poor bread, and he washes, and he drinks something from the well, and he also goes down and he lies down and takes a nap. Meanwhile, you hear galloping hooves, and the horseman, the soldier, comes back, and he wakes up this guy and says, "Where's my money?" And he wakes up and doesn't know what he's talking about. "What money? You're lying, you're a thief, you're this." And he starts smacking him and beats him and kills him. And that's the Seder HaMishpat. What is going on here? This is the Seder. It comes back to the Baal Shem according to the story. And the Baal Shem says, "I'll explain it to you. Each one of these three people's past lives are intertwined. You see, the soldier, the first man in the beginning who lost his money to the second man who found it, really in a past life, these two people were litigants in the court of law in Beis Din. And they came before the third man, the Ani, he was their judge. And what happened was that really, the first man, the soldier in our story, who lost the money, in his past life, he was a thief. He stole money from this guy. And he kept it. And then they both came before the judge, the third man, the poor man, the pauper. And the judge was busy, had a harried day. He didn't want to deal with this case. He didn't listen to any testimony. He didn't cross-examine any witnesses. He just sent the guys home. So basically what happened is Hashem took care of the cheshbon. This guy who stole the money, he lost it. The guy who got his money stolen, he found it and took it. And the judge who didn't do what he was supposed to do, he got his punishment for it. So, and basically the idea behind this all is that really we see things in this world, we have our little picture of how things are running. Sometimes we don't understand, based on our limited vision of what's going on, what in the world is going on here? How could it be that this righteous person who did nothing wrong, he got such a makkah? And this person, he's obviously Rasha. Look how he's matzliach. He has business and he has money. And we don't know the cheshbonos of past lives and past deeds and what people have coming to them. What Hashem is paying them back in this world, either a punishment or paying them back whatever they should be getting in the next world so that they shouldn't get it because they don't deserve it. Hashem has his cheshbonos. And we don't have a clue. You know, the Ramban says in the Hakdama to Sefer Iyov, you know, Iyov's either a true story or a mashal, but either way, Iyov suffers a lot in the story. He loses basically everything. And the Ramban says you can't understand Seder Iyov until you understand the secret of Gilgulim. Because basically the idea behind Iyov is this person who seems to be righteous loses everything and suffers almost needlessly. Like, what's the reason why? And the Ramban is saying the Hakdama to Sefer Iyov, that there's a secret called Gilgulim, and we don't understand. People have certain cheshbonos based on their neshama, based on their past lives. And we all have, according to the Rizal, in this generation, we are all not new neshamas anymore. We all have some kind of past life, which we may not know about. But basically, things happen to us in our life. We may not understand why they're happening to us. What cheshbonos Hashem has for our neshama, it's all with the cheshbon, it's all with the din. So that's one idea from the Baal Shem Tov in this week's parsha that I wanted to discuss. Another very powerful Musar idea. Says in Pasuk in this week's parsha, Al tashes yadcha im rasha lios eid chamas. Don't lend a hand to the wicked and be an eid chamas, a cruel witness, a wicked witness. What is it talking about? What's such a case? So Pshevorsky Rebbe, he said, what happens in Beis Din Shemayim? What goes on up there in that heavenly court? Says the Yetzer Hara has a problem. Says the Yetzer Hara also has to follow the Torah. And the Torah it says, Al pi shnayim eidim yukam davar. We paskin halacha based on two witnesses. And the Yetzer Hara has a problem. He's not two people. He's only one. So he wants to act also as a prosecution and also as a witness. That's not a problem in Beis Din Shel Melech. He has a job. He's the prosecuting attorney. That's his tafkid. And he's also a no problem being a witness. But the problem is there's only one. So he needs another witness. So who's going to be his other witness? So unwittingly and unknowingly, sometimes it's us. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. Al teshes yadcha im rasha. Don't lend a hand to the rasha, to the Yetzer Hara, the biggest rasha there could be. Don't lend him a hand. Lios eid chamas, to be another cruel witness along with him. That says the Pshevorsky. What's the example of such a thing? Is when a person, it says the Ramatul Neshchizer, he says, Shlo ledaber ra al shum echad nisrael chasashal. Never speak evil against another Jew. Don't badmouth other Jewish people. Don't speak Lashon Hara about them. Don't say terrible things about them. Because if you do that, if you don't judge other Jews favorably, if you don't give other Jews the benefit of the doubt, what you're doing is you're putting yourself in a position, the Yitzhara is waiting just for testimony like yours. He's up there in Shemayim, he's waiting to start the trial. And he wants to call up the witnesses, but you need two. And he's only one. Who's going to be the other witness? And chas v'shalom, it could be one of us. Who'd want to be a witness? Who'd want to be party to the Yetzer Hara's prosecuting team against another Jew? No one would want to do that. So he illustrates this based on a story of Mordechai Rapinchev, who was the father-in-law of the Kamarna Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael from Kamarna. The Rabbi Yisrael from Kamarna quotes many stories from Baal Shem Tov. He's mentioned quite often in the Baal Shem Tov Alei Torah. And he says over a story he heard from his shver, from his father-in-law. The Baal Shem Tov and his students were once together for Rosh Hashanah, and they were davening together. And one of them, in the middle of davening, dropped his snuff box with his tobacco, with his snuff in there. And in the middle of davening, he bent down, he picked up the box, and then not only did he pick it up, he also opened it up, took a nice whiff of snuff, and then he continued davening. So this little distraction did not find favor with one of the other Talmidim, the Baal Shem Tov, who was standing there. And he saw this, and he did not think that was a proper thing to do. In the middle of davening, you know, pick up the snuff box. And not only do you pick it up in the middle of davening, and you take a nice whiff of the snuff, also, it's not becoming for one Talmid Baal Shem Tov to act in such a way. It's mamish wrong. People have thoughts like this. And he kept going on with his, you know, judging that person, and the more judgmental he was, the worse it was for himself. Because the Baal Shem Tov was able to see The Baal Shem Tov had a way of seeing these things in the heavenly spheres, and he was able to see up in Beis Din Shamayla that at that moment, just like he was judging that Talmud, they were judging him. They were saying, okay, you think you're such a tzaddik, you think it, let's see what your zchuyos are, let's see your your report card, your scorecard. And they decided, nope, he's just not making the cut. And it's Rosh Hashanah, it's a time to paskin who will live and never who will die. And they decided this Talmud's not going to live out the year, not the one who dropped the snack box, the one who's judging the other guy not quite favorably. And the Baal Shem Tov saw all this, and of course he was greatly troubled that such a horrible, terrible gzard and such a terrible decree should be decreed against one of his Talmidim. So the Baal Shem Tov was able to go up with his neshama, and he tried to act as defense attorney. But all his different tainus, all the different types of arguments he presented before the court, before the Beis Din, didn't help. No matter what arguments he presented, they were just, they were just disregarded, and the Psak Din remained guilty. He's not going to live out the year. Rosh Hashanah didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do to rescind the decree. He kept trying, and he tried again and again. Finally, it was revealed to him that the only argument, the only way he could say that that Talmud would be if that Talmud himself would rethink the matter, and if he would be dan l'chav schus, if he would do the opposite, if he would rethink the matter, and instead of be dan l'chav chov, instead of judging unfavorably, judging harshly that other student, if he would judge him favorably, if he would have given the benefit of that, that really he was doing something positive, if that Talmud could find within his heart to do the opposite of what he had done and judge him favorably, he would save himself. So Baal Shem Tov saw just such an opportunity. And Hoshana Rabbah, the minhag of Chassidim used to be, in some places it still is, just like on Shavuos, they would stay up all night and study. And this Talmud would sit and he tried to stay up all night and study. And he couldn't. His mind was wandering because the Baal Shem Tov had some way of take away the moichin, take away his power of concentration. And he felt like ois mensch. He felt like really terrible. And he couldn't learn. And he couldn't concentrate. And he, what do you do when you can't learn? You pace. A lot of people get up and they started pacing to and fro. And his thoughts began to wander, just like his feet were wandering. And he somehow came in his mind back to that story on Rosh Hashanah. And then he started thinking to himself, what is it with tobacco anyway? Why is it that, we never had in other previous generations so many people, they would smoke and they would sniff tobacco, and what did God make such a thing for anyway, and why is there such a thing as snuff? And he thought to himself, maybe because the sense of smell, it says in the Sfarim that among all the senses that were nifgan, that were blemished in the story of Adam Arishon, the sense of the eyes seeing the fruit, and the sense of taste, tasting the fruit, and listening to the nachash, all the different senses, the sense of smell, it wasn't included in that avera. So the Sfarim say that's why the sense of smell, it says in the Gemara in Brachas, kol neshama tehalel ka, the entire soul shall bless you, kol neshima neshima, every breath that we take, the sense of smell is the highest of all the senses, it's the most ruchniestic, the most spiritual of the senses. Perhaps, maybe, when you sniff tobacco, it could be a tikkun for certain neshamas. And he started thinking up a whole... And as he was judging the other guy favorably, the Baal Shem Tov could see that his din in Shemayim was changing. And finally, the Baal Shem Tov was in a great mood because now he could see the salvation of his student. And he told the Talmidim, ask whatever you want. And the Talmidim were so happy. Baal Shem Tov doesn't always give the opportunity to ask. And they all came up and lined up, started asking all kinds of esoteric questions and ideas and etzis and brachas. And finally, this Talmid came to the Baal Shem and he said to him, I wanted to ask you, why is it that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created tobacco and snuff? And he says, why don't you tell me? You tell me what you think. And he told him the whole thing, and he told him this idea, maybe it's neshamas that are misgalgal, they're gilgulim, they come back, and they come back in tobacco leaves, and then when you sniff them, it's like a tikkun for them. And he went on through the whole story. And he judged the Talmud fairly. Perhaps, I don't know, maybe he was a great tzaddik, and I just think that he was a bad person, but in the middle of davening, who knows what he was metakin, who knows what wonderful things he could have been doing with that snuff. So Baal Shem Tov said, that was it. He judged him favorably in Baruch Hashem. But the story is basically telling us just how much of a dangerous thing it is to judge another Jew negatively. Just how terrible it is to speak negatively about another Jew, to badmouth another Jew, to speak Lashon Hara. Because Al Tashes Yadcha Im Rosh Elios Eid Hamas, do not lend a hand with the wicked, with the Yetzer Hara, to become that other witness that he's looking for, right? He needs two witnesses. He's got himself, and Chas Hashem, he wants one of us. And that type of speech that we could say could end up Chas Hashem being just that. So we have to be...